All right, tonight, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Hebrews, and we're in the third chapter. And actually, we've gone into the fourth chapter and backed up a little bit. But there's a verse here in the 13th verse of the third chapter, along with a couple of verses in the 12th chapter that go along with our studies about the doctrine of the sin. And it's amazing to me, if you were to mention the doctrine of the sin to virtually anyone under the canopy of Christianity, they wouldn't know what you were talking about. And yet, we find it in the New Testament 48 times, the singular noun sin with the definite article. So it's not talking about sin in general, it's talking about sin in the specific, the sin. So what is the sin that caused all the trouble? That's the one we're talking about. And it was when, you know, Eve was deceived, but she couldn't affect the whole human family, you know, or infect, or affect, really. But Adam, out of his love for Eve, then when she offered the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to him, he became a type of Christ in the sense that he who knew no sin, Adam, became sin, because unless he ate of it, she would have been damned forever with no hope of salvation, because she was not the federal head of the human family. You know, we talk about mothers and so forth. All of a sudden, my hearing aids sound crazy to me. Take care of your hearing. Wear earplugs. We didn't know what earplugs were when I was a kid. Oh, protecting your ears. 4th of July. Everything we did was noisy. And but anyway, this doctrine of sin, Eve was deceived, and we've read about it numerous times. I don't think we need to go back to Genesis and read it again. But the serpent said to her, has God really said that you can't eat of every tree of the garden? That's an interpretation of what he said. Did God really say? Now, by that remark, what was he doing? He was casting doubt upon what God said. And then she immediately went into a defensive mode, and she's trying to protect God. Now, does God need any protection, or can we offer any protection to God? Absolutely not. You know, he's all powerful. But nevertheless, she said, well, we can eat of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, we can't eat that, neither can we touch it, lest we die. Well, is that what God said? No, God said, ye shall surely die. So in her defense, and you'll find that Christians do this. We get in an argument with someone, or we're trying to witness to someone. And if something, you know, you mean to tell me if I don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to hell? Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. But we soften it. We don't want to tell people, you know, the road you're on is going to take you straight to hell, because you can't get into heaven by your own good works. And yet we kind of, you know, don't want to come right out and say it. And so, you know, that's what got Eve in trouble. And how are we supposed to speak? You know, preach the word, you know, thus saith the Lord. So all scripture is given out by inspiration of God. And we're told to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And I've talked about this in several of my messages. But when I was in Bible college, and I went to three different ones, and they all did the same thing. One was an interdenominational school. The other one was a kind of a super Baptist school. The other was a hyper-Calvinistic school. Yeah. And they all had their own little pet peeves. But, these Bible colleges are all trying to mold their students into little Christ. We're sinners saved by grace. There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Yeah. But the rules and regulations of the school, the one that I went to, you couldn't date a girl if you were unmarried. You couldn't date a girl till your senior year. That's pretty ridiculous when you think about it. And you put people in that kind of an environment, their hormones are working like everybody else's hormones. And you wonder why, we find so many strange preachers in the world. You know? And a lot of them become homosexual just because of their Bible school days. You've got to keep, but the hormones are raging. And then, it's kind of like Malcolm Forbes. He had his first experience when he was in the military. And he said, well, that's not so bad. And people get in that situation, and man will justify himself over just about anything and everything that he does. For me, it's okay. For you, it's not. Okay. Now, let me get off of that and get back to the subject. So man is pumped full of trying to be, holy and righteous and just. And all of that came from where? It all came from the lie of the devil. Nobody ever asked the question, what is a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? No. Well, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil is man's morality. And it both deals with things good and with things bad. And are there some things in there that are right? Yeah, it wouldn't be a very good counterfeit if it wasn't. Yeah. But we cannot, by the lives that we live, satisfy God. In order for us to be redeemed, of course, we recognize that when Adam sinned, he plunged the whole human family into sin. So now all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now in that position, is there anything that we can do to justify ourselves before a holy God? And the answer is no, not one thing. God promised that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent would bruise his heel. So in the fullness of the time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And so Jesus said, I'm what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So, it's interesting that all of these Hollywood big shots want to have an Indian guru, what is that? What is the religion of India?
Hinduism.
It just escaped me for a minute. So, and you look at what is going on in the world today. And in America, of course, well, these people have rights and these people have rights. All of a sudden we find all of the different groups involved in advertising because we're trying to make a, pluralistic society. Okay. But what do they do about having a Muslim or not a Muslim, but a Hindu guru. Hinduism, if you're born as an untouchable, you can't do one thing to change your status. And the untouchables will actually maim their children so that they can beg. And here's a group of people, they say, they lived before and they're being punished by living again as an untouchable. And so at the same time, we've got Hollywood and everybody else, all these people who look at their Indian guru as being super smart, but they don't say anything about the greatest prejudice against any people in the world is the East Indians and their untouchable thing. And an untouchable can't do a thing to change his status. Okay. So that came from that tree too. So getting back to our subject, he says, exhort one another daily in verse 13, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of not just sin, but the sin. So the specific sin of Adam and Eve, Eve ate first, and then Adam plunged the whole human family into sin when he ate of it. And what did they get from that tree? A knowledge of good and evil. What do we call a knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. And what is every religious system in the world based on, except biblical Judaism and biblical Christianity? All of them are based upon what man could do for God. Now the Jews, when they heard the law, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And that was an act of unbelief, because if they had known anything about themselves, looked at their the way they were in Egypt, each time God brought judgment on one of the false gods of Egypt, Pharaoh would increase the burden on the Jews, because he would react against what God had done, and Moses would allow the judgment to go on for a while, and then he would ask God to lift it, and they would. And then they blame the Jewish people. You've got too much time on your hand. You've got to not only till the ground, you've got to plant the ground, you got to reap the crop. You have to do all of it. We're not going to do anything for you. And so the Jews began to complain about that. Okay. And that was all. You know, then they're delivered from Egypt with the judgment of those 10 false gods of Egypt. And they just crossed the Red Sea. And of course, they're terrified as they're at the edge of the Red Sea and the Egyptian armies behind them. And where they were, actually, if you look at, Sinai, on either side of Sinai is the Red Sea. You know, we have the western leg and the eastern leg. The leg that they crossed was on the eastern leg, because they up north towards the outlet of the Nile, they went over, came down the west side of that Sinai Peninsula, and were down there. And then, so the Red Sea is on their west side. And then they get down there, and they can't cross. And so God tells Moses, stretch forth the rod. And they went over on, God separated the water. They went over on dry ground. The Egyptians are saying to do the same thing. Then God let the ocean flood back in, and the Egyptians were drowned in the sea. Now, they moaned, they groaned, they complained, and then just a few days later, 60 days out of Egypt, and they said, all of the Lord, when they heard the law, all that the Lord has spoken, what?
We will do.
And basically, that's what, whether they call it Christianity or whatever, the whole world thinks in terms of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that we can somehow or other satisfy our gods or God or gods, whichever it is, by the lives that we live. Well, there's only one God, the true and living God. And he can't be satisfied by imperfect acts of goodness. Yeah. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need a Savior. So God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ to bear the judgment of the sin of Adam and Eve, who plunged us into sin. And so he goes on to say, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of these sins. What did the serpent say these sins would do? Oh, God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be like God. Now, what's the difference between that and virtually everything in all the religions of the world? They're all dependent upon what they can do for God. The only one's any different, biblical Judaism, biblical Christianity says you need a Savior. For the Jews, it was portrayed in the sacrificial system. And for us, Jesus was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was that one sacrifice for sin. So, ever since Eve was deceived by the knowledge of good and evil, all of the peoples of the world have been deceived by the same thing. Yeah. And so let's go to the 12th chapter of Hebrews now. I'm going to read a couple of verses there, and then we're going to go back and look at the sin again in the book of Romans. Okay. Now, in chapter 12 of Hebrews, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed or surrounded about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and what?
These sins.
The translator translated the article here. And if you look at the Scofield notes, Scofield tells us to omit the thought. You know, one of the few times they got it right, and he tells us to omit it. So they're basically just, you know, the deceitfulness of sin. No, it's the deceitfulness of the sin that you can be like God by the life that you live. That's what the serpent said. And that is the basis for every religious system in the world. So let's lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Doing what?
Looking
unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith of us. You know, if we're to read it the way it's actually written in Greek. You know, so what is it? There's one faith, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of what? The faith of us. So what is our faith based upon? Our faith is based upon the fact that man could not justify himself. So when Adam sinned, we sin. And the whole human family then is plunged into sin. And the whole human family thinks according to Adam's sin, which when he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So all religion is based upon what God can, or what man can do for God. The difference, biblical Judaism, the Jews had to see themselves sinners and offer the appropriate sacrifice, even though the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer could never take away sin. But it required a bloody sacrifice, because without the shedding of blood, there's what?
No remission.
So we look at this, and so he said, now, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the faith, there's only one faith. Now, it was portrayed in shadows and types in Judaism, and then it was fulfilled in Jesus Christ and given to the church to go into all the world and preach. And what is it? How that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, I'll read a couple more verses. So looking unto Jesus in verse 2, the author and the finisher of the faith of us, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Jesus was judged for sin by sinners. There's no greater contradiction than that. Okay. Against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. People pick on us every now and then. Yeah. But it, what they do towards us is nothing compared to what they did towards our Lord. You have not yet resisted unto blood. Which one of you has ever shed one drop of blood, striving against the sin? Yeah. And we have it. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to Romans. And we've talked about from the fifth chapter of Romans to the eighth chapter of Romans. And we've been all the way through the sixth chapter. And I want to get into the seventh chapter tonight. But we have the use of sin in the singular with the definite article 30 times between 5:12 and 8:3. And not one of those definite articles is translated. So it's talking about sin, sin, sin. And for some reason or other, I would have thought, you know, I know the first century Christians understood it. Paul wrote it, you know, and they're reading it in the Greek with the article. But the translators of our King James Bible, which incidentally, we have a cult propagated mostly by Baptists, that says that God preserved his word in the King James Bible. That's ever been as much a cult as virtually any other cult in the world. God preserved his word in the original. We have the Hebrew text. We have the Greek text. You know? And so we can look at what it, the way it was written in the first place. Now, all of us don't read Greek, and all of us don't read Hebrew and Aramaic, but we can learn those languages, and we can go in and read what it actually says. And I can show you contradiction after contradiction after contradiction in the King James Bible. It's still the only Bible I've ever used. I can find the truth in it. I can find the translatory errors in it. But the translation errors don't affect my understanding of the Word of God. Over in 1 John, the third chapter, it says, he that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Is that true? No, that's not true. Titus in 3:5, it says, it's not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saved us. Now, there's just one incident, but a direct contradiction. And God can't lie. So if you're going to try to make this King James Bible, without fault, then you're going to try to have to try to explain away the translation errors. And you can't explain them away. And you're going to have to ignore the fact that we've got 30 definite articles here that the translators ignored. So let's pick up reading now. Know ye not, chapter 7, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. So the Jews who were under the law had to keep the law all the days of their life. Did any of them, or could any of them? No. So what were they to do when they were condemned by the law? They were to bring the appropriate sacrifice to the door of the tabernacle, lay their hands on the head of that sacrifice, and confess their sins. And then the priest would kill the sacrifice, shed his blood, because without the shedding of blood, so that sacrifice was representative of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. There were all different kinds of animals for different types of sacrifices, but, we had to have a substitute, a vicarious sacrifice. Vicarious just means substitute. Okay. So, for the woman, now he's giving us an illustration about law. Now, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So, a woman typically outlives her husband. And a lot of women lose their husbands early in life. Does that mean they can't marry again without becoming adulteresses? No. Their husband is dead, so they're dead to the law of their husband. And so they can remarry and not be called an adulteress. So we're looking at the legal aspects of the law. And so it goes on to say, so then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. So with the death of Jesus Christ, we're dead to what? Law. We're dead to the law. Okay. And so, that's why we can't be charged with sin. Because where there's no law, there's no transgression. Now, the churches keep pumping law at us. They read the Gospels and don't realize that what we read in the Gospels in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is our Lord's public ministry amongst Jews to Jews. And how did he use the law? He used it lawfully. He used it to condemn them because they thought they were justified by it. So he just interpreted the law in a way that they couldn't get out from under. Yeah, so that they would see that they needed a sacrifice for sin. And that sacrifice he would provide. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, that is in the law unsaved, yeah, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. The law condemned us. But when God brought us to the place where we saw that Christ died for our sins, then because he's dead, we're dead to the law and alive unto God by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, are the things in the law good, right, holy? Sure. But if we fail before them, we're not being charged with sin because we're dead. In other words, when Christ died, we died. Yeah. We're actually alive, but when Christ was buried, we were buried. When Christ arose from the dead, we arose with him. And in the judicial reckoning of God, we're already with him in heaven. Yeah. So our lives in this life are not being viewed. The only thing that can be viewed that can be acceptable to God is that which we do by faith, by the gifts of the Spirit of God, which God has given us. But anything that we do in the flesh, trying to keep the law, none of that counts. Yeah. And so all of this talk about living holy life, yeah, is it better to do good than to do bad? Absolutely. Yeah. And I used to get a lot of tickets because I had more miles to drive and more radios to fix than anybody could get done in a normal shift. And I had the pedal to the metal from one job to another. And every now and then, Smokey would catch up with me. Guilty as charged, it was a matter of... I wanted to get home sometime. Okay. So he goes on to say, for when we were in the flesh, verse 5, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members. When the law says you're to love your neighbor as yourself, can you? No. Can you thou shalt not covet. Well, when your neighbor's got everything that you want and you haven't got any of it, you might want to switch places with it. Yeah. And people, you know, I get jealous over other people because they have and they don't have. And that's ridiculous. Yeah. So it says, but now we are delivered in verse 6 from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve how? In newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So every one of those Bible colleges that I went to, they didn't know anything about grace. All of the students were under a rigid touch not, taste not, handle not philosophy. You women, under no circumstances can you wear slacks. Well, slacks are women's clothing. You know, pedal pushers are women's clothing. Why can't they wear clothing that was made for them? But they don't reason that way. It looks like men's clothing. Well, if you look at the clothing of the first century, there wasn't a heck of a lot of difference between men's clothing and women's clothing. Yeah. The visual aspect. So it's totally ridiculous, but it's just something that they can do and pick on to make themselves feel what? Holy. And so what are we doing? The church, which is not under the law, the church, which is free from the law, the church was that which has eternal life in Jesus Christ, and we shall never perish. We are, churches on a whole are subjecting their people to a code of ethics to live by. And then, a whole bunch of nonsense so that people become very self-righteous, and they see sin in others, but they don't see the same sin in themselves. So it says in verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? No, God forbid, or may it never be. Nay, I had not known the sin. The sin was a tree which taught men the difference between right and wrong. But it was both right and wrong. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was told not to eat of it. Eve was deceived, and Adam was not deceived. But these sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, or illicit desire. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, these sin revived, and I died. In other words, you can realize that Christ died for your sins. And then all of a sudden, okay, now that I'm a Christian, I can do what I couldn't do before. What's going to happen? You're going to be condemned by the law. Okay. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. So we died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. And we are judicially not here. You know. And unless we understand that, we're going to, good behavior is better than bad behavior. There's no question about that. But our relationship with God is not based upon our behavior. So he says, for these sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Isn't it better not to get drunk than to get drunk? And they go in all these times. Yeah, certainly. But along with that, drinking isn't forbidden by the Word of God. It's forbidden by a lot of churches, but it's not forbidden by the Word of God. In fact, we couldn't keep communion properly if we couldn't drink wine, because they drink grape juice, but they did for 1900 years. They used wine, and then Welsh, when he found out he could process grape juice and can it. And it wouldn't ferment. And so we have Welch's grape juice. He, as an elder in the Presbyterian Church, got their bylaws changed. So that up till that point in time, they had been keeping communion with wine. So if we try to give them a New Testament start, for 1900 years, and almost 2000. And then all of a sudden, we don't want our children. Oh, got to look out for the children to take an evil thing like wine into their system. Well, the little kids, you know, they'll drink it and kind of make a face. You have to really acquire a taste for most alcoholic beverages. But the bottom line is, the alcohol replaces the leaven that's in grape juice. And so grape juice is unleavened, the bread is unleavened. It speaks of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't speak of our manner of living. So when we keep communion, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, what are we saying? Jesus said, this is my body, take, eat. No, this is my blood, take, drink. So we're remembering that it takes the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, to cleanse us from all sin. So, wherefore the law is holy in verse 12, and the commandment holy and good and just and good, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, or may it never be, but the sin. What's the sin? You know, man trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. Yeah. By the lie of the devil. Working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandment might become what? Exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under what? Sold under the sin. So when Adam ate of that tree, we ate of it. For that which I do, you know, just think about your life in any given day. For that which I do not, or for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Kind of sounds like me. You know, none of us are without sin. And these two preachers that try to pretend that they're without sin, they're always getting themselves in a bind over it. You know? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. I'm doing it. But I consent to, now then it's no more I that do it, but what? They sin. I've got a nature that says I can be good, like God by the life that I live. I got that nature from the devil, and I won't be without that nature until I'm raised, glorified, and adopted. Yeah. So we as believers in Jesus Christ, we have to recognize that's still working in us. Yeah. And is it better to do good than to do evil? Absolutely. But if you think it has anything to do with your relationship with the Lord, it doesn't. Because you're dead and your life is hid. Where? In Christ. And people can't figure that out. You know? For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now then it's no more I that do it, but what? The sin. I've got a nature to do because of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When Adam ate of that, I ate of it. For I know that in me, that in my flesh, dwelleth what?
No good thing.
For the will is present with me. Do you ever say, you know, I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that, and then you never do it? Okay. So he says, for to me, no good dwelleth, thing dwelleth in me. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, what? I find not. And that's our, you know, that's our manner of life. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but what? Sin. I received a nature to sin when Adam ate of that tree. And that nature is going to work itself out in me. And I'm going to try to make excuses for what I did and so forth. That's the way the human family works. But in reality, we just recognize that it's sin recognizes under the blood, forgiven, and by God forgotten, never to be remembered against us. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, verse 22, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of the sin. What? What is the law of the sin? Morality. You've got to be good, you've got to be good, you've got to be good. But I can't be good. You know, I remember back when I was a kid, Red Skelton was on the radio. He was really funny on the radio. On television, he was too, you know, too silly. But on the radio, fantastic. You know, he'd play the mean little kid, and he'd roll his pants up to his knees and take his fedora and put it on his head upside down. And then he was the mean little kid. And he'd use that voice. I know, you know, there's some cookies up on that top shelf. If I get up there and get one, I'm going to get a spanking. But I'm going to do it anyway. And the whole audience would do it. And then, of course, as he's climbing, he causes the dishes to fall. And we went to Hollywood when I was just maybe 12, 13 years old and saw that show. And they literally had tables full of pottery dishes stacked up, you know, 2 feet high, a whole table full of and the sound man would push them over and make that crashing sound of, and then the last thing he'd do, he'd pick up a little bell or a tin cup and throw it in the air and let it tinkle on it, and then the audience would roar, you know. But the mean little kid, I do it anyway. And that's who we are. And we have to recognize that. So we rest in the what? The person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our behalf. What we do by faith. We haven't the power to keep the law, so we're dead to the law. Is the law good and right and holy? Yes. But I can agree with it with my mind, but with the flesh, what? I'm going to, at some point of law, I'm going to fail. You know, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. Sound familiar? Just any old day in the life of a mill worker, right? If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but the sin, you know, that's our sin nature. That's that concept of right and wrong that's within us. And it didn't come from God, it came from the devil. Now then, it's no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. Now, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, well, what? No good thing. When you're dealing with somebody that is specifically, or particularly, I should say, self-righteous, they claim to be a Christian, claim they don't sin anymore, read this verse to them. You know, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, what? I do that. That I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is more no more I that do it, but the sin, that's that nature received from Adam by the fall, that dwelleth in me. I find mental law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of the sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And this death is actually the death. It's both spiritual and physical. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And I know I'm over, but I want to read down through verse 4 of the 8th chapter. There is therefore now what?
No
condemnation. Even though I'm like that, even though you're like that, there's no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus who walked not after the flesh. What's the flesh? The flesh is what we try to keep the law with. Yeah. But after the Spirit, Spirit of God indwells us and equips us to do what he would have us to do. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin and of the death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. You know, can we, in a body racked with sin, perform the law? No, absolutely not. All we do by putting ourselves under law is condemning ourselves. When, if our faith is in Jesus Christ, we can't be condemned, but we can be self-condemned. So, and for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. You can add that word in, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for the sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. How? In us, not by us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So walking after the flesh is according to, you know, that which came from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man thinking he has to be good to get into the presence of God. After the Spirit is recognizing that Jesus Christ stood in our stead in life, fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, died a ransom for sin, and imputed that righteousness to us. And now he counts us dead, and he says, all that I can see that you are doing is what you do by faith, by the power of the Spirit of God that indwells you. But your sins and iniquities will I remember against you when?
No more.
No more. Yeah. There are so many people, you know, and I'm talking about saved people that have been legalized to the point that they don't know what direction is up and what direction is down. Yeah. Is doing the right thing always proper? Sure. Are you always going to do the right thing? No. Because you've got that sin nature. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful love and grace that you've bestowed upon us, that we're saved by grace through faith, and that we can serve thee by the gifts that you've given, by the strength of the Spirit of God who indwells us. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and not remembered against us. But what we do by faith, we shall be rewarded for at the judgment seat of Christ, where we will then be able to cast our crowns at your feet, because only you are worthy to reign. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All sin.